Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. I'm Pastor Tony Alamo, and if I'm not your pastor, I sure want to be. We're in chapter 14 of 1 Samuel, and there are 52 verses in this chapter. And then we have a couple of letters that the Lord has led me to have letters read on these tapes so that people can see the marvelous work that he's doing through this ministry in other parts of the world. It's around 200 or more nations now that God has just got a revival going. But right now, let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint this service, and that, Lord, let everything be done in this service that is of you. Lord, anoint, open up everybody's spirit. Open up everybody's mind, because this is the battleground for Satan gets us. It's right between our ears, because he blinds. He attempts to blind the mind, and he does blind the minds of the people of the world. But if we keep you on our mind, then it's impossible, because you're the light of the world and the light of our minds, and you light up our life, our spirit, the spirit in us. And you give us your life. And so we know that if the light that shineth into the darkness of our minds and into our spirits is there, then we have been resurrected from death unto life. And that we then, after reading your word, we come into a complete understanding of everything that you've done for us and everything that you've given to us and everything that we are. And behold, what manner of man, God that we have, that he has called us. He calls us by when he enters into us, when he shines his life into us, and his light of his word, and the knowledge of himself, and in relationship to us in the world. He calls us the sons of God. And he also calls us the lights of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. And then later he says that ye are the lights of the world. We're the lower lights that are to be kept burning here on this side of eternity to bring forth, not to exalt ourselves as though we're something, because some people can't even take a compliment if they're told that they sing good, or they just think that they make a joke, you know, that they're, you like, you sound like another somebody or something like that. It just goes straight to their heads, and you can't bring them back down to earth again. Lord, I remember there's one of the people in the church that we let him wear one of those rhinestone jackets that you told me you allowed me to do, and they fell away, and they got so puffed up that they had worn a jacket, and they got their pictures put in a catalog. I mean, Lord, Satan has blinded their minds. It's like, that's one of the reasons why you don't allow me to promote anybody as a singer or a gospel singer or anything, because I know so many of them, Lord, that are in the ministry, that everybody believes they're in the ministry, and they're on drugs, like J.D. Sumner and Elvis, and a lot of them got on drugs. And here they'd go in and say they're ministering unto you, but that's why I'm so down on Christians or the Christian religion. We don't need any more Christianity. We need Christ. We need you, Jesus. That's all we need is you. And we don't need healing. We need the healer. All we need is you. We don't need salvation. We just need the Savior. If we have you, Jesus, we've got it all. The Bible doesn't say believe on Christianity and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says believe on Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the whole Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. And that's what we're here this evening to do this morning. Actually, it's 3:04 in the morning now. We're wanting you to anoint your word, anoint the commentary, and any translations, Lord, let everything be done Don't let not anything be done on this tape that is not of you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We thank you and praise you. We've been called to worship you, and all those that worship you must worship you in spirit and in truth. Because, God, you are a spirit. And we have Jesus now, because we know what the image of God looks like now. Because Jesus did come into this world, and he was... Actually, you came into this world, Father, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in the person of Jesus Christ, the Lord, who was a human being. And he kept all the commandments and never sinned once. And we hear so many people today that are saying that when the Lord comes back, there'll be no one that's perfect. But the Bible does say that there are perfect people that are perfectly pleasing the Lord. That he stated that of David, with the exception of that he, the thing with Uriah. And he says that Job was perfect before the Lord. And he mentioned other people that were perfect before the Lord. And he says that his bride, the church, the body of Christ, must be perfect. And I heard another, that same evangelist again, saying that the Lord loves us unconditionally. If that were so, then why does he say, if you do this, then I'll be your Lord and God. And if you do this, then I will bless you. They're preaching the wrong word, Lord, and I pray, in faith believing, that you'll do something that will cause these people in this world that are preaching this false doctrine, that you'll cause them to get saved, and that they'll admit that they've been preaching it wrong all these years, so that they'll be saved and not lost. Lord, I ask that in Jesus' name. And Lord, that they'll stop deceiving the people of the world, and that these will stop deceiving the people that call themselves that they belong to you. They're causing them to fall away. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 states that the Antichrist will come in the last days to sit down in the temple of God. Well, we know that when Christ died on the cross, that the veil of the temple was busted, the man-made temple, and that was because we became the temple of God. And so Antichrist will come in Jerusalem, and we're the new Jerusalem, and sit down in Jerusalem, the only Jerusalem that is Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, which is the body of Christ, and will say that he's God. There is no other temple of God but we who belong to Christ. And if we belong to Christ, and if we let the Antichrist, Satan, come into your temple, which is our bodies, which is the New Jerusalem, well then, we've lost. We've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And we won't be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And we won't be able to stay out of hell in the lake of fire. So, Lord, I pray that you will let this message ring into the ears of all the people. The Bible says that you're not going to come back to earth until this happens. And it's happened. It's happened. It's happening already. And even in the days of the Apostle John, he said that there are many antichrists back then who were once saved, and then they went away, they fell away. This is Antichrist. Antichrist is one body of people. One body of people that say they're Christ, but yet they have allowed the spirit of Satan to enter in the temple of God, their bodies, and then begin working for the devil. In other words, they're saying that we worship the devil. This is, Antichrist is just one body of people, one corporate body of people. Just like Christ, the body of Christ. Christ is one corporate body of people. He's the head, And we're the body that he works in. And Satan is the head of the Antichrist church. And the people that don't believe, receive or believe the word of God or live it, people that say they're Christians and they're really Catholics and they're not, they don't really belong to Christ. And all these other false people that say they're Christians, people that even go to Christian churches to say they're Christians, they don't belong to Christ because they don't serve him with all their heart, soul, minds, and strength. And that is the first commandment, is to serve our God. Serve the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others. Let the Lord work in us so that we can show the love of Christ working in us and that others can see that. That's the greatest love we can do for anyone, is to do that. So we've had enough of Christianity. We need Christ. That's all we need. He's our healer, our savior, our healer, our deliverer. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. Oh, we don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about the fear of death anymore. We don't have to fear about going to hell because we have Christ. And only if we have Christ. Not if we go around saying we're Christians. Does it make any difference if we what we say? But it's if we have Christ. If Christ is ours and we are his, then we don't have to worry about our flesh because the Spirit of God living in us, Christ living in us, and doing his work in and through us, mortifies and kills the desires of the flesh and the deeds of the flesh. And so we thank and praise you. Lord, I ask for you to make this a tape. That there's nothing said on this tape that is not right from the throne, right from you. And Lord, we can tell, those that belong to you can tell, that this is really you speaking through your instrument, Bernie Lazaro Hoffman, a.k.a. Tony Alamo. Praise the Lord. And Lord, we ask that you'll anoint everything further. Continue on to the end of this tape. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody says a mighty amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's go. You could tell that was the Lord, couldn't you?
Amen.
Okay, now you've got a couple of letters here. Vivian. Oh, your name is... You're not Vivian, are you?
No.
Well, who are you?
Michelle.
Okay. We don't have any Vivian. I'm just teasing. Okay, what else?
The first one's from Niger State, Nigeria, in Africa.
Vivian, if you're out there, we could use a Vivian. Come on in. Right, then what else?
This is Dear Pastor Lamo, greetings to you and all the brethren with the Church of God in Elma, in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the months of June, August this year, I received from your ministry two mailbags containing world newsletters of different topics, such as Another Pearl Harbor, The Real Thing, The Real Deal, and seven copies of the Messiah. Let's give God the glory for making it possible for me and you to come together in this wise through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ in sharing the gospel of his kingdom, good news, unitedly to the unsaved.
Well, that is wonderful. You know that we are... Those that are that belong to the Lord, we all get together and we support one another with the Word of God and within prayer and encouragement, and that's really important. That's why everyone should go to church and support each church service. And another thing, we had a singing the other day. Well, I'm thinking about it. I just don't want to. The Lord told me to do what He says in the Spirit. We have what we call singings out here in the Texarkana area every month now, and I think we're having them every 2 weeks. And gosh, we've got people that are pretty well known in the gospel field that's going to be singing out here. Plus, we've got some really good singing and musicians ourselves out here. And this will be occurring then every week, and then after that, every day of the week, just as we do in Los Angeles, California. And so we're starting that now in Texarkana area, about 25-30 minutes outside of Texarkana. And the musicians are terrific, the singers, and the preaching. The Word of God is flowing right down from the throne of God to encourage you and lift you up, and we have healing. Not only singings, but there's healings over here. Okay, and so we're going to have it every night, eventually. We have services every evening at 8 and twice on Sunday right now. And so there's healing right now, and there's singings every night. And we need you there to help build up the services, all right? So all of you come on in, wherever you may be, and support the body of Christ, the Lord's work in Jesus' name. All right, now let's continue on. I just wanted to say that. So we got some events. We're inviting the cathedrals down, and Larry Henley and Aretha Franklin and all kinds of different people that are very... I just got a letter from the cathedrals, what was it, 3 days ago? 2 or 3 days ago. And I've asked... And then also B.J. Thomas, who's a very good friend of mine. I want to have him come down, and we just have a real good singing. And there's dozens of other people, like Porter Wagner and others, that I would like to have come down and join us in a singing. We're televising everything, too, from now on. Televising it on TV. So come on down, and you'll really be happy that you did, because the Spirit of the Lord, just as you can tell on this tape, is going to be there. Jesus in person. Amen? Mm-hmm. Via the Holy Spirit. Right, then what?
God has greatly used you through the newsletters to speak life into saved and unsaved.
Right, and when that life comes in, then you can have healing. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we just had a tremendous healing in the church, and we have healings every day. But, this one man is just coughing up these tumors. He had like a tumor in his mouth as big as a lemon. And that's coming out chunk by chunk every day. Now, after he's been, they said he's going to die about 16 days ago, and here he is still walking around brisk, and he's happy, and he's praising the Lord. And he couldn't even walk. Now he's just walking around, and he wasn't able to drink out of like a glass of water like you and I can. He had to drink it through a tube, and now he's drinking right out of the faucet. And he's been using pain medicine like morphine and heroin and everything, and he says he doesn't want any more medicine. He feels no pain, no strain. Okay? No complaining, no explaining. But there is explaining, amen?
Amen?
It's the Lord Jesus Christ that entered into him. And when the Lord enters into you and you've given yourself completely to the Lord, and the Lord belongs to you. I'm not talking about Christianity. I'm talking about Christ. Belongs to you. You won't have any pain anymore. And you won't be lonely again, because the Spirit of the Lord will be there to comfort you. He's the comforter. Amen?
Amen.
Not me. I'm only one person. I just cannot comfort people except by these tapes. If they comfort you, then wonderful. But the Lord can come into your bedroom or your living room or your automobile or your workplace, wherever you are, and he'll comfort you right now and keep you comfortable all the time. That's the comfort. So that's where we get our comfort in this world, is from the Comforter himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. All we need is Christ. We don't need Christianity. Forget that. These people that say they're Christians, my word, they're the biggest mess I ever saw. They say you're not supposed to be perfect, but you, Spirit of the Lord, you're in the Spirit of the Lord, you are perfect. You are. The Lord says so. Believe him, not Joyce Myers or anybody else, all right? Turn her off. Quickly and efficiently. Okay, what else?
The impact is showing in the lives of those that have read one or more copies of your newsletters, and they are yearning and calling for more current topics of the literature to be sent to us every month, if possible.
Right, and the reason they're doing that is because once Christ enters them, they feel that peace, and they want to keep feeling that peace. And so they want more of the newsletters that have the power of God in it. People are dying, and they're not saved, and they could be healed if they'll say, yes, I'll serve the Lord if God will heal me. And if they really mean it, God will save them and heal them right away, and then we'll have more people in the body of Christ, and the kingdom of heaven will be established right here on this earth as it is in heaven. And that's what the prayer was that the Lord taught us to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. The kingdom of God is established by we who are people that are filled with the Spirit to speak. And when we speak, it's the Holy Spirit talking through us. And it goes into people's hearts, and they feel that comfort of the Holy Spirit entering into them, and they want more. And so all the people that get this literature, tell them about the tapes as well, and get these tapes to them. And those of you that are receiving the tapes and the literature, distribute them to your friends and your enemies too. Once they get saved, they'll be your friends. Amen?
Amen.
And we all, listen, we're the minority here on earth, and we need as much help and support as we can possibly get, because there are wicked men in this world that don't have faith. Now, God gave everyone a portion of faith, not a different portion, but the portion of faith. But all men don't use that faith. They don't believe what God has given them. And there are even some Christians that don't believe what Jesus has given them. He's given us power over death, hell, the grave, over our flesh, over the world. He's given us power to be well, to be power over all kinds of cursings. Amen?
Amen.
Sickness, disease, infirmities. He's given us power to become sons of God, to belong to Him. And that doesn't mean that we're supposed to be part of some kind of religious organization. We just need Jesus. We don't need any religious organization. We just need the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
The Lord is King. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. All we need is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Comforter, the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Forget about religion. You know, religion is of the devil. That won't save your soul. We need Jesus, that's all. Amen?
Amen.
For salvation and for healing and for our finances and for all of our everything here and for heaven. Isn't that wonderful to praise the Lord in song and in word and in deed to show everybody, hey, we love you. And even if they hate us and they just, you know, give us dirty looks and stuff, or they want to kill us or throw us in prison or anything, you just say, well, we overcome evil by doing good. Just say, well, we, you know, here's, let us tell you the truth. Because you won't be, you could be saved if you'll just, and healed. Don't you have any of your loved ones that want to be healed and you want them to be healed? Well, then get saved and quit being a hateful monster. Because God doesn't bless hateful monsters, with the exception of He blesses you with this word. But you have to receive it before it becomes effectual, before it becomes effective in your life. So receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved, and your loved ones will be saved, and they'll be also healed if you'll just believe. If you want more of these tapes and more of the literature that the Lord has given me, well, just write us or call us, and we'll be happy to send it to you absolutely without cost whatsoever. The Lord gave me salvation freely, and I want to just spread the good news to everybody. I'm maybe not your pastor, but I want to be. I want the Holy Spirit to be your comforter through myself, all right? So let me be. Okay, then what?
Dear Pastor, I want to plead that at least every quarter of the year your ministry should be sending at least a mailbag of the newsletters for me to distribute for the unreached to be reached regularly.
Oh, now this is a real good distributor. Boy, this is, I love this person. Amen?
Amen.
We got a lot of them. We got to get more and more of these. The Lord, he's bringing about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. One of us, you know, the Lord gives us the seed, and these people go out and plant it. You know, we all work together as a team. Then somebody else waters. And God gives the increase. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Then what?
I will be grateful if you will approve this to your brethren.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely approved. Boy, I just pray that they do it. And if they don't, you come and join us, and you can do it for them. All right? We need more workers in the mail, you know, everywhere in the church. Not just the mail room, everywhere. We need drivers. We need purchasing agents. We need musicians and singers and television technicians, recording technicians. We need all of you people, all the people that the Lord wants to send us. And just get in as soon as, because the Lord's coming back. Like I said, these signs in 2nd chapter, 2nd Thessalonians, and many other signs are happening right now. It's the end of time. The Lord's coming soon, and he's coming without notice. Like a thief in the night. Amen?
Amen.
So beware. Get in now before something awful happens to you. All right, come on. Then what else?
Finally, I want to thank you once again for all that the Lord is doing through you as a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. May God continue to prosper your ministry and bless you greatly. Your brother in Christ, S.U. from Niger State, Nigeria.
All right, then that's good. Excellent. Now what else have we got here? From where? Where's this one from?
Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay.
Dear Pastor, greetings to you in the name of the Almighty God, who is worthy to be praised, the Good Shepherd. I am the Pastor N.S. Kumar. I am working for God since 1980. I was established 20 churches, all in my district, together with 5,000 believers. 15 co-pastors are working under my service. Once one Christian brother has given me your newsletter. Then I read it and surprised and praised God because there is wonderful message and spiritual words to grow in Jesus. Then I was conducting my co-pastors meeting and I read it among them. They filled with the Holy Spirit by your newsletter. I would like to ask you please send your monthly newsletter and message book. Please encourage me in this gospel service by your teachings and helpings to my pastors.
See, now he's ministering back to me. This encourages me to write more. Amen?
Amen.
And get more tapes out. And that's what it means to just, you know, tell people what's going on in you from this literature, and then tell me other things that are happening with you from whatever the Lord is giving you. And that's why we go to church, is to lift each other up. Because this world is pretty... You know, it can get depressing if you're not, for sure, if you're not in the Lord. If you're not in the Lord, a lot of people get so depressed that they put a gun to their head and pull the trigger with bullets in there. And so, you know, that won't happen if you're in a place that you can be lifted up all the time in the Spirit. All right? We can do nothing without Christ, he says. Without me, you can do nothing. You can't stand. You can't be lifted up. So that's why he has all of us as vessels, and he, through us, lifts one another up. He in us. He's in us. He's in us. We belong to him, not to some religion or Christianity, but to him. Amen? Because everybody calls himself a Christian, even people that are creating wars, even people that are killing, you know, destroying people. So we, you know, that's not Christian. They need to belong to Christ. And I pray for President Bush and for Dick Cheney and for all the different people in the administration everywhere throughout the world. Lord, heal them, save them, make them whole, let them belong to you. Not be part of Christianity, but part of Christ. Okay, then what?
Your teachings helps must become backbone to my services. I believe in this my hope that you can send your literature and teachings to my congregation. We have some goals in my gospel service. Please pray can send you all details in after your kind consideration. Convey my regards to your dedicated family believers. I should be awaiting for your kind reply soon. May God's Holy Spirit use you more in his service for Jesus' sake. Thank you, your fellow servant in Jesus Christ, Pastor N.S. Kumar from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Now he's got a congregation of 5,000 people. Load this pastor down with, and all of his co-pastors with thousands of tracts. Get them, because these people are going to do a big and mighty work out there in that area, in India. All right? All right, now we're going to begin now with chapter 14 of 1 Samuel. And here's Sharon now to begin reading verse 1. Now let's see here the header.
Jonathan's daring plan. King James Version, verse 1. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. Verse 2. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. Verse 3. And Ahiah the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. Verse 4. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side, and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other, Sinna. Verse 5. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. Verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Verse 7. And his armor-bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Verse 8. Then said Jonathan, Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. Verse 9. If they say thus unto us, Tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and will not go up unto them. Verse 10. But if they say thus, Come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. Verse 11. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. Verse 12. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor-bearer and said, Come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor-bearer, Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. Translation, verse 1 through 12. Jonathan's daring plan. One day Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, quote, Come on, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outpost, unquote.
This is a translation now. Okay, and then what?
But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing. Verse 2. Meanwhile, Saul and his 600 men were camped on the outskirts of Gibeah around the pomegranate tree at Migron. M-I-G-R-O-N. Verse 3. Among Saul's men was Ahijah, A-H-I-J-A-H, the priest who was wearing the linen ephod. Ahijah was the son of Ahitub, A-H-I-T-U-B, Ichabod's brother. Ahitub was the son of Phinehas and grandson of Eli, the priest of the Lord, who had served at Shiloh. No one realized that Jonathan had left the Israelite camp. Verse 4. To reach the Philistine outpost, Jonathan had to go down between two rocky cliffs that were called Bozez and Senna. Verse 5. A cliff on the north was in front of Michmash, and the one on the south was in front of Geba. Verse 6, quote, "Let's go across to see those pagans," unquote, Jonathan said to his armor-bearer. Quote, "Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few," exclamation mark, unquote.
Yeah, all we need is Jesus, amen?
Amen.
All we need is the Lord. You don't need 1,000, 10,000 men, just the Lord. Amen? Really. I mean, really. God is stronger than men, amen?
Amen.
It's like he told the man, he says, we're more than all these people that are coming against, a whole valley full of people. And then he said, open the eyes of this man, this poor, unfortunate doubter. The Lord opened up, and here's the entire army of the host of the host of the army of the Lord of hosts. Amen.
Amen.
Encamped all the way around them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so the Lord of hosts, his whole army is around us. And so if you feel dejected or you feel sorry for yourself, it's only because of the fact that you don't have faith to know that the Lord is camped around and about you. And you haven't got to worry. If you had faith, you wouldn't have a worry in the world. You just know that you're not alone in this big old horrible world. Amen?
Amen.
That you're among friendly spirits. Millions of them. Praise the Lord. You're part of the Lord's army. The Lord of hosts is his name. Then what?
Verse 7, quote, "Do what you think is best," the youth replied. "I am with you completely, whatever you decide to do," unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8, quote, "All right then," Jonathan told him, "we will cross over and let them see us." Verse 9, "If they say to us, 'Stay where you are or we'll kill you,' then we will stop and not go up to them." Verse 10, "But if they say, 'Come up, come on up and fight,' then we will go up. That will be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them," unquote.
Yeah, they put out a fleece there. Let's see what they're going to say. If they say this, then we'll do that. If they say this, we'll do that. Okay, then what?
Verse 11, "When the Philistines saw them coming, they shouted," quote, "Look!" exclamation mark. "The Hebrews are crawling out of their holes," exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 12, "Then they shouted to Jonathan," quote, "Come on up here and we'll teach you a lesson," exclamation mark, unquote. Quote, "Come on, climb right behind me," Jonathan said to his armor-bearer, "for the Lord will help us defeat them," exclamation mark, unquote. King James.
Now, there are so many verses here, I think we'll just go over the rest of the way with the translation. In other words, we're going to be reading 104 verses. All right? Let's just go with the translation here.
Okay. Verse 13, "So they climbed up using both hands and feet, and the Philistines fell back as Jonathan and his armor-bearer killed them right and left."
See, so you all have your King James Version. You can see what the translation is. It's saying the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
Only a little bit more clear. All right, then what?
Verse 14. "They killed about 20 men in all, and their bodies were scattered over about half an acre." Verse 15. "Suddenly, panic broke out in the Philistines' army, both in the camp and in the field, including even the outposts and raiding parties. And just then, an earthquake struck, and everyone was terrified." Israel defeats the Philistines. Verse 16. "Saul's lookouts in Gibeah saw a strange sight. The vast army of Philistines began to melt away in every direction." Verse 17, quote, "Find out who isn't here," Saul ordered. And when they checked, they found that Jonathan and his armor-bearer were gone. Verse 18, then Saul shouted to Ahijah, quote, bring the ephod here, exclamation mark, unquote. For at that time Ahijah was wearing the ephod in front of the Israelites. Verse 19, but while Saul was talking to the priest, the shouting and confusion in the Philistine camp grew louder and louder. So Saul said to Ahijah, quote, never mind, let's get going, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 20, then Saul and his 600 men rushed out to the battle and found the Philistines killing each other. There was terrible confusion everywhere. Verse 21, even the Hebrews who had gone over to the Philistines' army revolted and joined in with Saul, Jonathan, and the rest of the Israelites. Verse 22, likewise, the men who were hiding in the hills joined the chase when they saw the Philistines running away. Verse 23, so the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle continued to wage even out beyond Beth-Aven. Verse 24, Saul's foolish oath. Now the men of Israel were worn out that day, because Saul had made them take an oath, saying, quote, let a curse fall on anyone who eats before evening, before I have full revenge on my enemies, unquote. So no one ate a thing all day. Verse 25, even though they found a honeycomb on the ground in the forest. Verse 26, they didn't even touch the honey because they all feared the oath they had taken. Verse 27, but Jonathan had not heard his father's command, and he dipped a stick into a piece of honeycomb and ate the honey. After he had eaten it, he felt much better. Verse 28, but one of the men saw him and said, quote, your father made the army take a strict oath that anyone who eats food today will be cursed. That is why everyone is weary and faint. Unquote. Verse 29, quote, my father has made trouble for us all, exclamation mark, unquote, Jonathan exclaimed. Quote, a command like that only hurts us. See how much better I feel now that I've eaten this little bit of honey. Verse 30, if the men had been allowed to eat freely from the food they found among our enemies, think how many more we could have killed, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 31, but hungry as they were, they chased and killed the Philistines all day, from Michmash to Ajalon, growing more and more faint. Verse 32, that evening they flew upon the battle plunder and butchered the sheep, cattle and calves, but they ate them without draining the blood. Verse 33, someone reported to Saul, quote, look, the men are sinning against the Lord by eating meat that still has blood in it, unquote. Quote, that is very wrong, unquote, Saul said. Quote, find a large stone and roll it over here. Verse 34, then go out among the troops and tell them, bring the cattle and sheep here to kill them and drain the blood. Do not sin against the Lord by eating meat with the blood still in it. Unquote. So that night all the troops brought their animals and slaughtered them right there. Verse 35. And Saul built an altar to the Lord, the first one he had ever built. Verse 36. Then Saul said, quote, let's chase the Philistines all night and destroy every last one of them, unquote. His men replied, quote, we'll do whatever you think is best, unquote. But the priest said, quote, let's ask God first, unquote. Verse 37, so Saul asked God, quote, should we go after the Philistines? Will you help us defeat them, unquote. But God made no reply that day. Verse 38, then Saul said to the leaders, quote, something's wrong, exclamation mark. I want all my army commanders to come here. We must find out what sin was committed today. Verse 39, I vow by the name of the Lord who rescued Israel that the sinner will surely die, even if it is my own son Jonathan, exclamation mark, unquote. But no one would tell him what the trouble was. Verse 40, then Saul said, quote, Jonathan and I will stand over here and all of you stand over there, unquote. And the people agreed. Verse 41. Then Saul prayed, quote, O Lord God of Israel, please show us who is guilty and who is innocent. Are Jonathan and I guilty, or is the sin among the others? Unquote. And Jonathan and Saul were chosen as the guilty ones, and the people were declared innocent. Verse 42. Then Saul said, quote, Now choose between me and Jonathan. Unquote. And Jonathan was shown to be the guilty one. Verse 43, quote, Tell me what you have done, Saul declared and demanded of Jonathan. Quote, I tasted a little honey, Jonathan admitted. It was only a little bit on the end of a stick. Does that deserve death? Unquote. Verse 44, quote, Yes, Jonathan, Saul said, you must die! Exclamation mark. May God strike me dead if you are not executed for this. Unquote. Verse 45. But the people broke in and said to Saul, quote, Should Jonathan, who saved Israel, today die? Far from it! Exclamation mark. As surely as the Lord lives, not one hair on his head will be touched, for he has been used of God to do a mighty miracle today. Unquote. So the people rescued Jonathan, and he was not put to death. Verse 46. Then Saul called back the army from chasing the Philistines, and the Philistines returned home. Verse 47. Saul's military successes. Now when Saul had secured his grasp on Israel's throne, he fought against his enemies in every direction, against Moab, Ammon, Edom, the kings of Zobah, and the Philistines. And wherever he turned, he was victorious. Verse 48. He did great deeds and conquered the Amalekites, saving Israel from all those who had plundered them. Verse 49. Saul's sons included Jonathan, Ishbosheth, Ishbosheth, and Malchishua, Malkishua. He also had two daughters, Merab, who was older, and Michal, Michal. Verse 50. Saul's wife was Ahinoam, Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz, Ahimaaz. The commander of Saul's army was his cousin Abner, his uncle Ner's son. Verse 51. Abner's father, Ner, and Saul's father, Kish, were brothers. Both were sons of Abiel, A-B-I-E-L. Verse 52. The Israelites fought constantly with the Philistines throughout Saul's lifetime. So whenever Saul saw a young man who was brave and strong, he drafted him into his army.
All right, praise the Lord. That was the 52 verses of chapter 14 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 14, chapter 14, 52 verses. And now we've got some commentary here.
14 verse 1, quote, other side, unquote. There was an extremely deep and rugged ravine separating the two encampments. 14 verse 3, Saul now turns to Ahijah, A-H-I-J-A-H, Eli's great-grandson, even though Eli the priest's line was rejected by God. 14 verse 4, the outcroppings were so rugged that they were given two names, Bozez, which means shining or slippery, and Senna, meaning thorny. It was the most improbable route one could possibly choose. Thus the surprise of the Philistines when Jonathan is discovered. 14 verse 6, quote, uncircumcised, unquote, was a term of derision often used by Israelites to designate or to mean Gentiles or enemies. However, it is also a reminder of the covenant of God with his people. Jonathan and his armor-bearer are covenant people of the Lord God, or called Yahweh. Therefore, numerical odds do not apply for the Lord's people, because the Lord is on our side.
Yeah, all we need is the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We don't need Christianity. We don't need any more of that. We just need the Lord. We need Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You have to keep reminding people about that because they'll be saying, I'm a Christian. Yeah, you are. You're in a pig saw, are you? Okay, then what?
14, verse 7. Jonathan's armor-bearer was much more than just an aide or a servant to Jonathan. He was also a loyal partner in battle. That is something we all must be, loyal partners in the spiritual battle between God and Satan for the soul of man. 14, verse 12. Quote, hey, we'll show you something, unquote, was an invitation to fight. Quote, we'll teach you a thing to, unquote, is the spirit of this. 14, verse 13. They climb up the face of the rock on their...
We'll show you how the cow ate the cabbage. Right. Come on up here. Teach you. Then what?
They climb up the face of the rock on their hands and knees, evidently a feat that the Philistines thought could not be accomplished. 14, verse 14. Half an acre was actually a half an acre. 14, verse 19. Quote, withdraw your hand, unquote, which means stop trying to get guidance for me. I do not have time for guidance from God. 14, verse 20.
That's what people are doing today, you know. They just don't have time to check to see if what they're going to do, if they're supposed to do it. My, 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 they just think they are the masters of their own fate. But the Bible says that Jesus is the author of our faith. Amen?
Amen.
And what else?
The confusion is in the camp of the terrified Philistines as they begin fighting one another. 14, verse 21. The Hebrews here are not Saul's men in this verse. This was a designation of groups of renegades and mercenaries that hired themselves out to fight for one army or another. But the truth of hirelings is spelled out here. When the battle turns against the army that they're with, they join the winning side and fight for Israel. They're like Jesus said. 14, verse 20. To be distressed, to be pressed, or fatigued. Saul's foolish vow, which he imposes on his exhausted troops, further weakened them. 14, verse 27. Jonathan's countenance brightened, meaning that his eyes shone because he had been refreshed and rejuvenated by the nourishment of the honey. 14, verse 31. From Michmash to Ajalon was about 3 miles. 14, verse 32. Since it's now evening, the oath is no longer in effect. 14, verse 33. Eating with the blood means eating the slaughtered animals without properly pouring out the blood on the ground around the altar of sacrifice, as required in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 26. This is why Saul builds the altar and oversees the sacrifice, verses 33 through 35. 14, verse 38. Saul rightly concludes that no answer has come from God because of sin in the camp. 14, verse 45. Quote, he has worked with God this day, unquote. Although the discernment has pointed out Jonathan as the transgressor, God has proven to be with him rather than in the oath of Saul. 14, verse 47. Establish his sovereignty means that Saul has now secured himself as king. The list of nations is a summary statement of Saul's successes. Moab, Ammon, Edom, and Zobah were the nations east of the Jordan, beginning with Edom in the southeast and extending to Zobah, a district in northern Syria, east of present-day Lebanon. 14, verse 6 through 14. People who have faith and belief, people who trust in him, have victory in impossible situations. Jonathan's confidence in God prompted him to step out in faith and tackle incredible odds. His faith and courage were rewarded with an amazing victory. 14, verse 13. Sadly, many of us never trust God enough. we don't have the belief to continue on, no matter what the odds are against us.
Right, all we got to do is just, if we have faith, just do what you're supposed to do. Amen?
Amen.
And believe that God is going to take care of everything else. He'll run interference for you. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
We never really are able then to find out or discover what he can do, and we can never ever have the joy that deliverance and the victory brings to those who have faith and belief.
Yeah, if you never step out by faith, then there's never going to be any battle that's won. Amen?
Amen.
Without a battle, there's no victory. Amen?
Amen.
You're just like a piece of bread sitting in some dank, stale water. Then what?
Notice that Jonathan did not take his step of faith alone. He was accompanied by a bodyguard. Similarly, we are given the same faith and belief, but it is not something that we can accomplish to win or have the victory by ourselves. We need the Lord's support. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We need also in the world the friends who God has given us to support us in war against Satan. Through God's Spirit, like Jonathan's companion, we will exclaim, quote, I'm with you completely, unquote. 14 verse 7. Significant relationships are not to be shunned until we get better, and more faith, more belief. Often God uses people to help us get there. 14 verse 19 through 20. Saul's indecision as he heard the battle in the Philistine camp caused a great deal of confusion among his troops. He was waiting for a clear message from God about what to do. Eventually, he found that he had no alternative but to attack, building on Jonathan's victory. 14 verse 13 through 15. Saul's course of action should have been obvious. His rather insincere hesitation shows us that there is a time to pray and a time to act. We must avoid trying to be, in a false way, spiritual when it is time to take action. We find out from the Spirit what to do, and then we don't keep praying about it, we act upon it. We don't need to pray about obvious things. We already know from the Word of God and the Spirit that's in us what people, places, and activities to avoid. Some things are obvious and must be pursued without delay. We have to protect ourselves. Read 1 Samuel 14, verse 1 through 12, chapter 20, verse 29. We once used our addictions, the things of the flesh, to find comfort and help us cope with life's daily battles. In growing in the Lord, in maturing in the Lord, we may have become so focused on the battle at hand that we have neglected our basic physical needs.
Right, like I used to, you know, before I was saved, I used to go with a guy from New York City to Philadelphia by train, and he'd smoke some marijuana. He says, we might as well be comfortable while we're on the trip, you know. Well, you know, in the spiritual realm, we're on, you know, we're here, but we're not here. We're sitting with Christ. And in order to be comfortable on this trip through this world, where pilgrims just passing through, we need to be comforted with the Holy Spirit, okay? Pot is not going to, you know, pot is going to, and any kind of other type of false comfort is going to take you downhill and down into hell and then into the lake of fire. Or, you know, like people say, we have to be comfortable. We have to have I'm not comfortable all day long. I just have to have sex with, you know, anybody that comes along. Well, you're not going to be comfortable eternally. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, remember what I said, because what I'm saying is what the Bible says. Then what?
We may have forgotten our need to enjoy some of the sweet things of life that the Lord has given us. Failure to take care of ourself can leave us weak and vulnerable. During a difficult battle, King Saul had declared,
Well,
quote,
taking what I mean by that, is we have to take care of ourselves. We have to stay in the Spirit. Now, you may be saying, well, I was too busy to pray today, or I was too busy to read. I was too busy to take care of the job that you're doing, whatever you're doing. You have to take time to get fortified with the Spirit, with the Comforter, so that the work that you're doing is not causing you to become irritable, or to you won't have the power to do the job that you want to do, or that the Lord wants you to do at all in a good way. You have to wait. If I'm too tired, I will not do a message, because I have to take care of my spirit, my soul, in order for the Lord to grant me the anointing that I need in order to do it. You just can't do everything tired. You can't really do it. You have to take care of yourself too. Amen?
Amen.
Now, some people may say, we run a slave labor camp, but we sure don't want you to slave. The Lord says that His work, His yoke is easy and light. Amen?
Amen.
But you got to be in the Spirit to know when to rest and when to get busy. When there's a time to get busy and there's a time to rest. Amen?
Amen.
And some people, when it's time to work, they want to go and read and pray. But, you know, that you do when the Lord leads you to do that. When everybody else is working, you don't sit there and thumb your nose at them and just tell them, you do the work, I am reading and praying. Amen?
Amen.
Or when it's time to sleep, go to sleep. I'm one to talk about that. You know, I'm supposed to go to sleep, and sometimes I just don't. So I'm preaching to myself here, too. All right, then what else?
During a difficult battle, King Saul had declared, quote, let a curse fall on anyone who eats before evening, before I have full revenge on my enemies, unquote. So that means that in the evening the vow was gone. But Jonathan had not heard his father's command, and he dipped a stick into a piece of honeycomb and ate the honey.
So where there's no sin, there's no transgression. Where you don't know what the law was of his dad, then you shouldn't be responsible. I mean, you're not in line for the punishment. Somebody should have informed him, and then I'm sure he wouldn't have done it. But even though it was a very foolish thing for the father to say, if somebody said that I've, you know, vowed to do this, well, then somebody should say, well, you know, we'll be able to do more for the Lord if we eat. There's a time to fast and a time to eat. Amen?
Amen.
You don't fast in the middle of battle. What else?
After he had eaten it, he felt much better. But one of the men saw him and said, quote, your father made the army take a strict oath that anyone who eats food today will be cursed.
Now you tell me. Then what?
That is why everyone is weary and faint. Unquote. Quote, my father has made trouble for us all, exclamation mark, unquote, Jonathan exclaimed. Quote, a command like that only hurts us. See how much better I feel now. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 24 through 29. When we are in growth, growing in the Lord, we already feel deprived. We need to make sure that we are being good to ourselves. If we're not to eat, don't eat. But if we are to eat, then don't impose a fast on yourself that isn't of the Lord, because it won't be healthy for you.
Yeah, and it won't be of the Lord. That's of yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Eating good food and tasting some of the sweet things that life and that God naturally gives us and God provides for us, growing in the Lord isn't the time for unnecessary deprivation. We are to deprive ourselves of our former life, but not of the things that the Lord gives us.
Yeah, but if the Lord puts you on a fast, then you better fast. Amen?
Amen.
But make sure it's the Lord, not the devil. Do what else? Or your flesh. Then what?
If there is no need for a fast, then don't. If we become too hungry physically or emotionally, we'll find that we are weary and less able to fight the battle, the good fight of faith, the battles that we face every day. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. So that the whole a solution to the problem is to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh, amen?
Amen.
Or the desires of the flesh. I want to fast. And then a lot of people, when they do things that are not in the Spirit, they start fasting, and then they get discouraged with Christianity because they think God is imposing all these strict things on us. And I'm getting so discouraged now. I mean, I want... Then they see everybody else eating sumptuously, and they're driving new cars and everything. They say, look at that. I mean, and they're happy. But... And they don't realize that they're doing all that to themselves. And I used to see that, too. I used to have nice cars and stuff. But then, you know, when I went into Christianity, the Lord put me through the fire, and I had to do without a lot of different things for quite a while. But I was happy in the Lord because I knew I was where I was supposed to be. And then... When the Lord would tell me when to fast, and I would fast. And one time he told me he'd kill me if I didn't fast. I knew that was a fast. Amen? And so there was no problem with that one. And but then as you go along in Christianity, if you just walk in the Spirit, God will give you a car. He'll give you a house. He'll give you furniture. He'll give you money to pay for your transportation and for your utilities and for your food and for everything. And he'll give you more than you're ever even able to keep. I remember when I first went into the ministry, I'd go into some... Susie took me around to all the different missions downtown Los Angeles and out in the beach area and stuff. And I'd see... I thought all those people were poverty-stricken, but I'd go into their houses and, man, they'd have loaded down, you couldn't even hardly get into their house. They had so much stuff in there. And I thought, my God, unsaved people that I know don't have this much stuff. And it's just, to me, what I thought was just a cheap old mission. And the people were just, God, they had stores full of, like, clothing and the thrift stores and full of all kinds of stuff. And the toothpaste companies would give them huge boxes full of toothpaste and stuff. And here now people are paying $4 a shot for a tube of toothpaste or something, and maybe even more than that because I don't go shopping. But it's just amazing, all this stuff that the Lord sent into them. And then, you know, and I was just still going through it and everything, but then as I just would just trust the Lord to lead my life, and not get involved in doing something. I didn't want to get discouraged by imposing fasts on myself. I wanted to fast, but because I just thought if I fasted, I'd become fully mature faster. But then I saw people doing that, and then they'd fall away because they get so discouraged because they think this must be Christianity, that we got to fast all the time. Or they'd just start working themselves to death, you know, and they'd fall away. Because instead of relaxing, you know, and let the Holy Spirit move you to do something, well, they don't trust the Holy Spirit to move them to do whatever the Lord wants them to do, and they just work themselves into a frazzle. They're like those tigers in the Little Black Sambo comic strips where it used to have years ago. Like the tigers would chase themselves around the trees until they turned into butter. And then they'd put the butter on the hotcakes. Do you ever hear that? You people have never heard about those before. But anyway, I mean, I saw people just, they're like, it's like an engine that moves, that goes so fast that it just blows up. And you've got to walk in the Spirit. Anybody that's really in the Spirit, you don't see them that jangled. Or their nerves are like jangled. And they always, they look wild-eyed, you know, and high-strung. That isn't a person that has yet given themselves totally over to the Lord. Now, Christianity, they're still into Christianity. The Lord, they haven't given themselves to the Lord yet. So try to remember that, you know, stay in the Spirit, and there'll be a lot more accomplished when the Lord does it. He can do more in one fraction of a second than we can in a frazzled state if we lived to 100,000 years. Amen?
Amen?
1 second, the Lord said, let there be light. 1 nanosecond. He says, let there be light, and it was there. So, you know, you're not going to be able to compete with that. Now, there are things that the Lord wants us to do, and you've got to listen to Him, because you're like frazzling all over the house and stuff when He might want you to sit down and listen to Him, amen? Because He might have something important for you to do besides what you're doing. Maybe you're doing something good, but why don't you ask, like this Saul, even as crazy as he was, when the guy told him, why don't we ask the Lord? Well, then he did, amen? And then the Lord didn't answer right away. And so they waited. Those that wait on the Lord, that wait for the Lord to give them instructions on how to use them, that doesn't mean to sit around either. They're the ones that mount up like eagles, because if the Lord wants you to rest, you're not going to mount up like an eagle if you're all haggard, you know, and frazzled. But if he says, now, stay here, go to a desert place and relax. And, I mean, I'm one to talk. I don't think I've ever taken a vacation before. But he says, go to a desert place. And they wanted him to go to Lazarus right away, and the Lord told him to stay here. Well, all the disciples thought he was in error, that he was really not of the Lord, of God Almighty. And so he just waited there, and then when he got there, it was several days, amen? You remember how many days?
Seven.
Huh? That Lazarus was dead and in the tomb?
Four.
Cuatro. It was four, amen? So the Lord told him, he wanted him to be good and dead before he got there. And, you know, Jesus in the flesh wanted to get there and heal him before, but it was a greater miracle for him to raise him from the dead. Amen? So he stayed there for 4 days, and I'm sure that the Lord was saying, Lord, you know, Father, 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 what's up, what's up, what's up? Well, I'm going to have you raise this man from the dead. So just pray up now. Pray up, pray up. That's how, just rest and pray up. Okay? All right, now after 4 days, 3 days, whatever it is, and however long it took to walk there. Okay, now let's go. You go over there. Okay, now, Father, he says, you already told me what you're going to do. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm saying this, Father, so that every one of these people around here can know. Know what? That Jesus is Lord, I would say. Amen, in so many words?
Amen.
Okay, so he says, Lazarus, come out of there. Amen? Come out of there. He didn't have to yell or shout or anything. He just did what the Lord says. Lazarus, come out of there. And out he comes. Amen?
Amen.
So he did more there in 1 second than you if you're just razzling and dazzling and frazzling all over the place. All right? Meditate on that in the next few, day and night. And the Lord bless you for it. You'll be more relaxed and more able to mount up with wings of eagle when you're rested. Amen? When you're in this, when you're doing what the Lord says, when you're of the Lord, when you belong to Him, not to a religion or to your own self. Well, you're going to, the way you earn yourself into the kingdom of heaven is to just do what the Lord says. Not by just working, you know, doing your own thing. And until chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, this is your pastor. Tony Alamo. And if I'm not your pastor, I want to be. Saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
For in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. And amen.